Je m'en allais chercher des oies du côté de Fouilly-les-Oies. Soudain, qui vois-je devant moi une belle fille au fréminois. En arrivant à sa hauteur, lui faisant sourire enchanteur. Elle rit aussi, on parle alors, et elle me dit dans nos transports.
À bicyclette.
Est-ce que vous êtes coureur?
Moi,
je ne suis pas coureur. Est-ce que vous êtes menteur?
Moi,
je suis balayeur. Avez-vous fait le tour?
Tour de France, non, mais j'ai fait des tours.
Des détours, des contours, et même d'autres tours. Des tours de quoi qu'elle me dit? Des tours de vélo, pardi. Vous êtes un blagueur. Est-ce que vous êtes coureur?
Vous parlez d'argent, coureur.
Dans les champs chantaient les grillons, le soleil dardait ses rayons
de bicyclette.
Elle voulait que je chante un brin, mais à cela j'ai mis un frein
de bicyclette.
Près d'un tournant, il y avait un bois où l'on se dirigea ma foi à bicyclette. Mais comme elle roulait près de moi, voilà qu'elle me fait presque à mi-voix.
À bicyclette.
Est-ce que vous êtes coureur?
Moi,
je ne suis pas coureur. Est-ce que vous êtes menteur?
Moi,
je suis balayeur. Vous savez faire la cour?
Oui, j'y réponds, carrefour.
De ce qui est faire la cour, je la fais chaque jour. La cour, et qui qu'elle me dit? La cour de la ferme, pardi. Vous êtes un blagueur. Est-ce que vous êtes coureur?
Vous parlez de raisonnement? Il fallait pas qu'elle soit intelligente pour toujours dire ça. Enfin, bon.
Dans le bois, j'y disais, voyez donc, sans boussole, nous nous guidons.
Des bicyclettes.
Mais elle répétait pleine d'ardeur que j'étais un coureur.
Bicyclette.
Je l'étais pas, ça s'est couru, mais alors je le suis devenu.
Bicyclette. Non, là, je peux pas rien dire.
Et comme je courais vers le but, voilà qu'elle me fait comme au début.
Bicyclette.
Est-ce que vous êtes coureur?
Moi,
je ne suis pas coureur. Est-ce que vous êtes menteur?
Moi,
je suis balayeur. J'irai 10 ans courant, car je continuais de courir vers le but à conquérir. Vous êtes au courant. Mais à force de courir, parcourir, discourir, vélo s'est dégonflé et je suis pas arrivé.
Moralité, rien ne sert de courir, il faut partir à point. Comme l'a si bien dit la tortue.
This is Resonance 104.4 FM. You're listening to The Bike Show. My name's Jack Thurston. For the next half hour, we're going to be doing everything bicycling. The Tour de France, the Waterloo Roundabout, and a man who's just cycled across Australia on a penny farthing. Joining me today is Simon Brammer, director of the London Cycling Campaign. Hi, Simon. Welcome to Resonance.
Thanks very much for inviting me.
How was your ride in today?
Great, as usual. Riding across London, I think, is one of the most amazing things you can do. You get to see the most historic landmarks, some of the kind of richest culture the country has to offer, all on a bike. It's great.
And how far do you commute from home to work?
I commute about 9 miles in each direction every day, so I probably cycle a bit further than most people would, but it's great.
And have you noticed how things have changed in the last few years in cycling in London?
There's been a phenomenal change, certainly over the last couple of years. I remember cycling in London 5 years ago. I used to be the only person waiting at traffic lights, and now you're sitting at traffic lights with 7, 8, 9, 10 cyclists sometimes waiting with you. So there's been a massive surge in cycling in central London.
Why?
All sorts of reasons, I think. Congestion charges undoubtedly helped because it's reduced the level of traffic. It's also given organisations like the London Cycling Campaign the opportunity to really market cycling and sell its benefits. People are beginning to realise that actually you can cut through congestion really quickly, it's healthy, you don't have to go to the gym if you're cycling to work every day, and that it saves you an awful lot of money. If you look how much you spend on a travel card to get around London's capital on overcrowded, often hot, sweaty tubes, and you can do it on a bike in the fresh air instead, people are slowly beginning to realise that it's a very easy thing to do.
And what do people, I mean, do you speak to people who've just picked up cycling and what you know, is it revelatory to them?
It is, I think it's very revelatory for them. A lot of people are often very scared about getting on a bike. bike in London. And actually, it's a lot easier than you might think. The London Cycling Campaign with Transport for London have published a whole series of 19 route maps that cover the entirety of London. So you can plan your route without going down main roads. Often people think you have to cycle through London the way your bus would go or the way you would drive. Actually, you can cycle through beautiful back streets and parks and avoid main drags.
It's amazing how I remember when I started cycling a lot in London, making all the connections between all the different places that I'd been to on the tube, where you just pop up out of a out of a tunnel and look around, and then you know, actually it's only about a mile or half a mile to somewhere that you think is a completely different part of town. So you make all these reconnections and things like that.
It's something we call the molehole connection, this idea of popping your head up at a tube stop and not knowing what's in between each of your stops. By riding on a bike, you discover parts of London that you've never seen before. It revolutionised my understanding of London when I started cycling, and there are places that I've never seen and places that I see now on my way to work, which are truly astonishing.
Well, thanks for joining us, Simon. We'll come back to you in a moment. I'm now going to play something that we played for the first time over the summer, and it got a big response. And it's about cycling and safety and what we can do to keep ourselves safe on the road. James Foster was a Tasmanian guy who worked and lived in London, worked in mosquito bikes, and was killed about a year and a half ago on his bike on the Essex Road. To mark the one-year anniversary of his death, there was a memorial ride around Islington and Clerkenwell of about 150 people. I went along and spoke with some of the people who'd come along to pay their respects to James.
He's just on his way home after an evening out, and an unlicensed drink driver hit him at 55 miles an hour and obliterated him, killed him. She was convicted, I think it was 3 years earlier, and for drink driving without a licence. Same thing. And she was disqualified for, I think, 16 months. This time she was disqualified for 3 years and got a 21-month sentence.
James was from Tasmania, lived in London, had lived previously in London about 10 years ago, came back to London and lived in our house in Highland Road with about nine of us, and he worked at Mosquito Bikes. He was a very competent cyclist, a very experienced cyclist. He was a fantastic friend and flatmate, and he... everyone who had bought a bike from him or come into Mosquito remembered him, partly because he had a massive smile, he was very tall and he had long red dreadlocks, but also because he really took time with people, was very kind, very determined that their bikes should be safe, that they understood about their bikes, and that, you know, riding in, you know, as a means of transport for him was something very important. So his death is a tragedy, not only for his family and friends, but also for the fact that he was a great advocate for cycling, and cycling properly, cycling safely. And that's why we're all on the ride tonight, to remember him and all sorts of different bits of his life. Some family members, some friends, some people who've never cycled before have come tonight. And really just as a mark of our respect for him, our love for him, and, you know, hoping that we can, you know, reduce the number of people who die on the roads, because cycling is the best way to get around.
I'd known James for about 15 years. We sort of grew up in Tasmania together. He'd lived with us for a couple of years. Always a bloody keen cyclist, you know, loved it. What can I say? You know, we're just here to honour his memory.
I like the opportunity to have a sociable bike ride on a Friday night, and although I didn't know James very well, you know, I did know him, and, you know, I like to think that if I went down on the highway, you know, people would ride for me. So two things really, but mainly just sociable, nice touristic experience.
How do you stay safe on the roads?
I think it's very important to wear visible clothing. I think things around your ankles and your wrists and colourful reflective gear on your back is very, very important. I think it's important that cyclists respect the codes of the road just as much as anybody else.
You've got to stay calm, just stay cool and make sure you don't get het up and emotional. It's very easy to feel oppressed and feel like motorists are on top of you and that your life's on the line, and I think that doesn't help things. Design of roads is important, but I think patience. I think people are just, you know, almost probably not themselves when they're driving or if they're riding. And I think it's important to take a step back and just relax and think rationally about what's going on. We've all got places to get to. You know, it's about having a bit of consideration.
You know, I think it's very advantageous to live in Hackney, you know, because every week you read in the Hackney Gazette about people shooting each other and, you know, drive-bys and stuff. So it makes you very circumspect about being hostile to people. Because basically, if you're on a push bike, you know, it's really, to do it nicely is like a feminine activity. It's about sharing space and negotiating and communicating. And like the idea of, to use the metaphor of a fight or a struggle, is completely misguided, because why would you want to get in a fight with someone who is literally 20 times more powerful than you?
He was the most incredibly amazing, gentle, funny, articulate, filthy swine available to all of humanity. he was my best friend. He was loved and respected by, you know, all around him, and a lot of people that kind of, you know, from the first moment they met him. He was an amazing heart and a very special man.
If there's a piece of music that you'd like to play out for him 1 year on from when he left us, what would it be?
Obviously Back in Black by AC/DC. He'd like that.
Black for James Foster, who was killed on the Essex Road by a crazy driver driving at 50 miles an hour, drunk and without a license in the middle of the night. Simon Brammer from the LCC, these issues of people getting killed or hurt, I mean, it's a double-edged sword in a way, because it's useful to point out these terrible things that happen, that they're real events and real dangers, to get things done. But then again, you don't want to discourage people from getting on the roads. How do you handle that at LCC?
Well, I think first to say it's always a tragedy when people like James die, an oasis loss of life, but it's always important to put that into context too. In the first 6 months of this year, cycling deaths in London have been reduced by 60%. There were 4 deaths. Now, why each one of those deaths is a tragedy for their family and friends, when you put into context to the 450,000 people who die every year from cardiac problems, from diabetes, as a result of lack of physical exercise, then I think you get some kind of perspective. In terms of your question in relation to what we do, as an organisation, the London Cycling Campaign campaigns for better safety for cyclists. There was a tragic death of a lady on Blackfriars Bridge earlier this year. Blackfriars Bridge has been notorious as a dangerous black spot. Following that, the London Cycling Campaign campaigned for a major review of bridges in London, and we're pleased to say that Transport for London have announced a major review not only of all the bridges, but also of cyclist safety on all of their roads in London.
Well, just upstream from Blackfriars Bridge, and the choice that you make when you're heading north or south is whether to hit Blackfriars, Westminster, or Waterloo, mm-hmm. is the Waterloo Roundabout, and that's been a pretty controversial place for years for a number of different reasons, and now cyclists are getting upset about it. I went down this morning to have a look.
Well, I'm here on the south side of the IMAX cinema, buses and taxis to my right, heading up towards the roundabout. If I can actually get into the road. Okay, here we go. Now, there's a funny little green cycle lane to my left here. One cyclist on a Brompton has just ignored that. I'm going to take it. A lot of broken glass and litter and leaves in here. I guess they probably don't clean it very much. Now I'm back in with the buses. About three buses on my left here. Coming up to the traffic light, where it's all a bit confusing. I've got a green light. So is the bus. It's a race between us. Oh, now it's going red. I made it. The bus has run the red light. Now there's traffic to my left. BMW looking like he's nosing his way out. Okay, but I'm through. Catching up with the Brompton. A taxi coming up behind me. And now I re-enter the traffic on the bridge. It's quite a steep slope. And there's a bus stop right ahead, with two buses waiting there, so I'm going to have to either wait behind them or pull out to pass. Oh, as they're indicating, so they're pulling out. Fantastic. Oh, it's a competition. No, I was there first, mate. Whew. Well, that was exciting. And safely up onto the bridge. So what do you think of the Waterloo Roundabout?
I think it's quite chaotic. It's quite dangerous still. Even they did it new, you know. It's still from that side. The cars have to wait and you have to rush quickly to cross the road. But otherwise, they made a new traffic light, so it's a little bit better.
So what do you think are the biggest dangers when you're riding this? What do you watch out for?
Big lorries, you know, big cars, the buses as well. It's really confusing. They suddenly appear and you just have to be careful, really.
Where are you from?
Czech Republic.
And how is cycling in the Czech Republic?
Oh, so no car on the road. It's much easier, but London is okay. If you know how to cycle, I mean, you just have to be careful, but yeah. You have to be quite fast, otherwise the traffic is gonna eat you alive.
Yeah. Well, as a seasoned rider, for me it's okay, but for a beginner, it's a lot of problems because you've got a lot of turn-offs, you've got no actual green lane to take the bike around, you know what I mean? So we're fighting with the traffic, and there's so many turn-offs. You know what I mean? So if you're not aware of what you're doing, it can be dangerous.
And what could they do to make it better?
Well, I think we need to have a green line all the way around. I mean, obviously we can't go underneath because there's pedestrians. I can't figure out because we've got a big London Max tent, so we can't go through it. That would be ideal, to have a green strip coming through right through. But we'd have to get a green strip all the way around. You know what I mean? And when the lights are off, we have a right of way before cars. You know, so if we have a couple of minutes or a couple of seconds before the cars, bicycles go first and then cars, then we can get out of the cars' ways and make ourselves free.
Do you think they've made it better or worse with the changes that they made in the last 6 months?
Well, as a bike rider, there is a lot of green paths, but this actual place, there's nothing for us on here. This actual roundabout is not for bicycles, but the actual bicycle community, we have got more green ways now, you know what I mean, up and down, so it's all right.
Well, I've just happened to come upon Tom Lynch cycling up Waterloo Bridge, who's the cycling coordinator for the London Ambulance Service. Tom, what's your view of the Waterloo Roundabout?
Well, on a daily basis, my riders and myself try and negotiate this roundabout. It's almost like taxi versus bicycle, bus versus taxi versus bicycle. But the main thing is buses are coming straight into the lane and obviously not seeing us, and it's a daily argument. So at some point, something is going to happen. We've issued warnings to several different organisations as well as Transport for London. Someone is going to have a serious accident there because everyone's got the right of way from the cycle path. I've informed my riders not to take the cycle path because it puts you in such a vulnerable position that you will get run over.
That's the cycle path that goes to the left on its own.
Goes to the left on its own, but then when you go with the flow of traffic, you're against the oncoming vehicles from the right and also the buses on your left. So
your recommendation is?
Not to take the cycle path there. I don't know what happened in the negotiation stage, but that's not right there. That has to be re-looked at.
And how would you redesign the roundabout?
I don't know about redesign the roundabout. I'd probably take the cycle path out and give more space to the actual traffic and the cyclists entering from the lower end of Waterloo Road to enter and go straight over, rather than more access to the buses, because the buses steam through there when we've still got cyclists coming up on the inside and traffic appearing from the right. So maybe not too much of a reshape, but the consideration is to the vulnerable cyclists. They need some more room, and also maybe the buses to actually think bicycle, because at the moment they're not stopping for anyone.
This is Resonance FM. You're listening to The Bike Show. My name's Jack Thurston. Joining me is Simon Brammer, director of the London Cycling Campaign. Simon, your offices are just round the corner from the Waterloo Roundabout, so everybody must have an opinion about what it should be. What's the considered view of the LCC?
Well, indeed. It's not one of the most spectacular examples of good cycle engineering. I think that the problem with Waterloo Roundabout is that it's a major failure in terms of consultation. London Cycling Campaign works in all of its borough groups across London to ensure that new cycling facilities are the kind of facilities that cyclists need and use. I think Waterloo is an example of engineers putting in cycling facilities without talking to cyclists. We're trying to correct that situation now by putting pressure on the local authority to reconsider that particular engineering works.
I mean, it seems extraordinary that so much was done ostensibly for cyclists. There's an awful lot of green tarmac. I don't know quite what the intention of the changes were, I suppose to accommodate the bus station. Why weren't you consulted?
It's a very good question, and a question that we've asked Transport for London, and we are continuing to put pressure on them to adjust it now. Part of the problem with approach roads and bridges in London is that they're the only places where speeds can exceed 30-40 miles an hour, because there aren't traffic measures to slow that traffic. What we'd really like to see is speed control on those bridges and speed control around those kind of roundabouts. The issue, as some of your interviewees pointed out, is the speed of traffic on that roundabout rather than anything else. There's enough space for people to safely negotiate their way around it if people aren't doing excessive speeds in motor vehicles.
Yeah. I mean, apart from Waterloo Roundabout, which we probably won't want to go on about anymore, what other black spots and actually good spots are there? I mean, I think what they've done in Trafalgar Square is excellent. That has made that used to be a very scary place to go up around the north side of Trafalgar Square. Hyde Park Corner, it's a bit slow, but it's safe. I mean, what do you think what's the good, the bad and the ugly at the moment?
Well, I think those are both great examples. They're where cyclists have been consulted, and as a result, safer, more useful routes have been put in. I cycled here today along Upper Ground, which runs behind South Bank. That's a really nice piece of tarmac. It's a road. It has traffic control measures in, so everything's moving at a similar speed, and it's very pleasant. You get to watch the river floating by as you get here. So some great examples. What we need to do is make sure that they join up. The next wave of the London Cycling Network is currently to be installed, and there's been great news with the Mayor telling us there's going to be increased expenditure made available. There's another £5 million next year available for the London Cycle Network. We just need to make sure that cyclists are consulted where those networks are going in, to make sure that cyclists want to use them and they're a good quality facility.
Do you think the Mayor has made a difference?
Absolutely. I mean, the Mayor is committed to cycling. There's a Centre of Cycling Excellence now, which is in Transport for London. We work in partnership with them on projects, and we also work to campaign to make sure they're delivering the high quality network that we want. It's never going to be perfect. And I think the issue that was raised in your Vox Pop is that in terms of cycling in London, you cycle for your ability. If you're a long, confident cyclist who's been cycling in London for years, then Waterloo Roundabout probably wouldn't faze you. If you're new to cycling, then cycle lanes offer some kind of protection whilst you get used to cycling traffic.
And this is a critical issue, because if, you know, 20% increases in cycling is happening every year, that means there's a lot of new people getting on the roads, getting on the bikes. I would worry about getting on a bike these days if I didn't know how to ride a bike. What would you recommend to people to do?
Well, there are a few key things. I mean, if you are about to drive a motor car for the first time, you wouldn't hop into a car without having any lessons first. And the same is true of cycling. Cycle training is now available, and it's free in many London boroughs. As a cyclist cycling in London for over 8 years, I took cycle training lessons and learnt huge amounts. So I thoroughly recommend it.
So what happens? Describe the day.
Sure. Well, in a cycle training lesson, I learned how to position my bike in the road. I learned how to take control of a lane. So as you're approaching a roundabout, for example, that you sit in the middle of the lane so a car has to wait behind you. They teach you how to ride away from the curb and not hug it. All sorts of different safety tips. And cycle trainers will cycle on the route that you do on a regular basis to help you negotiate it. Gave me huge amounts of more confidence, and I thoroughly recommend it. Cycle training combined with information is the way forward in London. LCC's website at lcc.org.uk has huge amounts of information to get people to a flying start.
So you can find out how to get on a cycle course, or even to join the LCC.
You can.
Are you a membership-based organisation?
We are a membership-based organisation, and the majority of the membership fee goes towards the campaigning work that we do in order to make London safer for cyclists.
And how many members do you have?
We have 9,000 members currently, and a growing membership. As people begin to recognise the benefits of cycling and the kind of sheer joy of cycling in London as well. That's growing all the time.
Well, the sheer joy of cycling in London is one thing. There is the sheer joy of cycling a penny farthing across Australia. Apparently, Lloyd Scott, the 43-year-old guy, who in fact was the fella who ran the London Marathon or walked the London Marathon in a full diving suit, took him about a week a couple of years ago, he has just ridden 2,642 miles in a charity bike ride across Australia, dressed as Sherlock Holmes in a tweed suit and a deerstalker, and what looks like a giant moustache, on a penny farthing. And he's had to deal with snakes, locusts and extreme temperatures, it says here. And it took 50 days... and he raised a lot of money for leukemia research, by the looks of things. Is the man sane?
Well, it's not something I'd be considering. I think cycling across that distance on a penny farthing must be one of the most uncomfortable experiences I could imagine. I prefer two wheels and a comfortable saddle.
Well, I think we're heading towards the end of our show. Thanks very much, Simon, for joining me.
Thank you.
Hope to bring you on the show again, and join the LCC. They're brilliant. My name's Jack Thurston. This is Resonance 104.4 FM. See you next week. Give me my